say. I'd say I'm totally in a Missy mood tonight, but there's really never a time when I'm not in a Missy mood. Welcome to the podcast tonight. It's Eric Chase. We're in crunch time again. Tonight will be even shorter than last night, but I felt the need to give you a little bit more because last night we got cut short due to some technical difficulties. But I got to press this stuff in before we get ready for the show, which is on the air each and every weeknight on Q105 from 7 to midnight. I wonder if there are people who listen to that show, to the show each weeknight, but don't know about the podcast. I wonder if you listen to the podcast, but don't know about the show on Q105 every night. Let's correct this problem. And I know everybody's life is a little bit differently, and I guess I'm on demand with these podcasts, so you can, if you want to hear me at 10 o'clock in the morning, you can listen to the podcast. So just spread the word. Also, I'm trying to help my buddy out here because he's my friend and he had a long Facebook live video the other night. Demetrius, if you're looking for any kind of insurance, home insurance, life insurance, you know how to track Demetrius down, right? And I know people always comment when he posts something big, like, when are you going to be back on the radio? Well, he's got his State Farm business going and we get our podcast together when we can, when his family allows, but you can help out Demetrius. We appreciate you supporting us in our endeavors beyond where we were before. Life goes on. I want to get to a couple of things here. Like I said, this is not going to be an hour-long podcast, but you might have heard me on the air last night, and it was hot in here, and I wasn't as prepared as I'd like to be. I was a little scatterbrained. I had monkey mind. I couldn't pay attention. Whatever ADD, whatever ADHD I have was kicking in. But it was hot in the studio. I botched the podcast and I had to cut that early because of technical difficulties. And it was my fault. I was rushing. I was ornery, all these things. So last night was not a good night. And I've told you before, if the show's not any good, I will probably tell you at the end of it. I think one of the things I get some credit for is you might not like what I have to say, but at least I'm going to be real with you and genuine and authentic. And I promise you, other shows will be better. Like, I think tonight's show is going to be great. I think this podcast is going to be really good. This foul mood for me, and again, I did not spiral into anything. This was not some valley that I entered into all day long today. I didn't lay in bed. I didn't drink, but nothing. But I want to tell you how I avoided that because some things were looming. This foul mood started yesterday. The last you heard was I looked at a house, but we pulled the offer because the roof was messed up. On Monday, I found another house in the same neighborhood with a lot less shadiness. And I put an offer in. The offer was immediately accepted. We had the inspection yesterday, Wednesday. The thermostat in their house was set at 80-something. 80, 81, 80. It was in the 80s. It was. Now, I keep my thermostat set at 75 in my place. I have a brick bedroom. The insulation sucks. So in the bedroom, the air escapes. It's 10 to 15 degrees hotter in the summer, 10 to 15 degrees colder in the wintertime. In the winter, it's okay. I can bundle up when I go to sleep. In the summertime, it's like, Diddy, can you move? I'm just going to sleep with the fan on the bed. So I can't fight the elements in my place. So I just leave the thermostat set at 75 and I move the fans around the house. It's comfortable, but not cool. When I visited this house on Monday, it was cool. Yesterday for the inspection, I don't know why. Maybe they're just trying to save some money knowing they're leaving. I don't know. It was hot as fuck. And I was in the house the whole time with the inspector. From pillar to post, Mike, he did a great job so far as I can tell. It was my first ever inspection. I've never even looked for a house before. But I said to him when I met him outside the house at 1:30, I'm going to be your shadow. You know how in basketball they say, like, I'm getting into your shorts to guard you. That's going to be me. Because I wanted to learn all the things that I needed to get a crash course on homeowning in the 3 hours that he was going to be looking at the house. But in those 3 hours, the heat wore on me. And it made me cranky. By heading into the third hour, I couldn't follow him around anymore. I had lost the ability to pay attention to what he was doing. I'd gotten crotchety and ornery. And I was like, when is this going to end? So sitting in the hot house, and if you want to tell me that I'm being a P word or weak or a loser or toughen up, that's fine. Sure, I could be maybe a little bit tougher, get through a little bit more adversity. Thankfully, I don't have a real difficult job. And I talk about this stuff so I can walk you through the map of my mind. So hopefully you can take some of my coping mechanisms, some of the techniques I use to get myself through what I battle with, you know, the bipolar too, so that you can help yourself and adopt some of these techniques on your own. But if you want to call me weak or whatever, that's fine. If you were thinking that, you probably wouldn't ever be listening to these podcasts anyway, because I know when I talk about what's going on in my head and when we talk about mental health stuff, there are more clicks on those. So that's good. So I'm more than happy to share what's going on in my head. And I wanted to walk you through this, let's see, 1 o'clock, this like 18-hour map of my mind. So sitting in the hot house put me in a shitty mood. I wasn't paying attention, so I fucked up the beginning of the show last night. I had to rush through the time that Justin and Vinny had given me. Like, I don't pay these guys. We come in, and I think it's a fun time. We enjoy this. But I wasted like a half an hour of their time sending them on their way because I had to wrap things up so I could get to the show. And I felt bad. I invited them to come back, but we'll have to do the fall movie preview another time. So I was just shitty last night. And as I was driving home, I forgot something here at work. It was just a mess. But as I was going home last night, I was having second thoughts, serious second thoughts for about the third time with the house. And I'm doing the math. I'm like, the math doesn't work out. I'm like, why? Let me just keep paying the rent. I know it's a lot, but it's a lot less to worry about. Thinking about being in that person's basement again, looking up at all those pipes and the furnace and how old it is and the water heater and all these little things that need to be tweaked and things that will go wrong and $5,000 to replace the HVAC stuff. And it's just overwhelming. But last night when I was home, while I was having these second thoughts, and I know that having second thoughts to make any kind of big purchase is normal. But these felt extreme. Like, this was me going, man, if I back out again, or if I back out, the realtor is going to think I wasted her time, or daughter's, all this time. Like, hang on. I knew that I was in a shitty mood. I knew I was in an extreme mood. I was ornery, and I was foul. I was in a foul mood. There's something that my dad told me when I was a teenager, like 18, 19 years old. And I think I kind of have to paraphrase this, but I hope you get the point of it. My dad said, There's a couple times when you should never make decisions. When you're having sex or when you're angry. When you're having sex, you're obviously caught up in the physical nature of it. Maybe you blurt out an, I love you! Or other things because the carnal nature of what we're doing takes over and you say things that you don't mean or you later regret. My dad also don't make decisions when you're angry as well. Basically, when you're and I expanded on that as I got older. Don't make decisions or don't say things that you might regret or you think you could regret while you're having sex. Stop yourself. And when you're in any extreme emotional time, whether it be utter joy and elation, or the opposite end, where you're pissed off, angry, and flustered. Make decisions when you're in the middle ground, when you're in your normal state. Because when you do make those decisions, you will probably make regrettable choices. So that's what I thought last night as I was having these second thoughts, like, don't do the house, forget it, just pull everything back. You spent $400 or so on the inspection, and it's a $400 lesson, and just stay in the damn apartment. But I was really thinking, you know, I got to bail on this. But I also was cognizant of where my head was, and it was messed up. It was hot and ornery and flustered. So I knew this will pass. I will not be in this mood. Maybe I'll still have those second thoughts about the house, but I will have clarity of mind and thought, at least once this aggravation passes. I didn't sleep real well. I got up early this morning at 7:30. I thought about going back to bed, but it's like, you know what? Let me get to the gym. I'm going to visit Dr. Andrea to sit in on her psych classes, dating in the 21st century. It was a fascinating class. And she did an intake, a trial intake for her students of me explaining my bipolar. It was really enjoyable. And I really enjoy her inviting me to her class and having her here on the podcast. But when I woke up, as tired as I was, as much as I wanted to go back to bed but didn't, my mind was cleared. And I surprised even myself. I wasn't thinking any of those thoughts last night. Actually, I was kind of excited to take the next step. I was like, I got to get this roof inspected because that's what could be the holdup with this house. Once the roof gets cleared, or if the sellers are willing to pay for repairs or the replacement, like, I'm in there. I'm looking forward to it. I was asking a friend of mine last night, I was like, one of the things I've been having second thoughts about was, well, I'm going to have more unfurnished rooms than furnished rooms. Half the house, more than half the house will be empty. She's like, look, you can grow into it. She said, I think everybody needs to have a home office. Everybody should have some kind of reading room. And I took that thought and planted it in my head and went to bed. This morning, the first thing I Googled was things to do with extra rooms in the house. And I found some ideas. But again, I was surprised that I wasn't having any second thoughts. In fact, my excitement to make this purchase returned. But because I was in that tired and emotional state, I wasn't thinking clearly. So I just wanted to walk you through the, 18 hours or so, the mapping of my mind and my thought process and reframing all of this to show you kind of how the neurons create these thoughts in my head, and maybe you can apply some of this to yourself. And maybe the simple takeaway is just this: when you're emotional or tired, when you're good or bad emotional or tired, don't make any important decisions. Let things settle. I am a big believer in letting the subconscious do the work. I get a lot of good ideas in the shower and at the gym. And have you ever woken up in the middle of the night with a really good idea? That's your subconscious at work, where at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you're trying to come up with a really creative idea. You're working on a project or something, and you just can't, but you've put 20 minutes of thought into it, but you can't come up with the solution. Then in the middle of the night, you wake up. That's your subconscious taking that 20 minutes earlier, that hard, intense thought that you put into it, and giving you that idea at 3:32 in the morning. So have your notes, your notepad close, or your phone close to write a note. So I was at the University of Findlay today at Dr. Andrea's couple of classes. One of them was dating in the 21st century, and I was so surprised that those kids use the phone as much as they do. I don't like making phone calls. I'll do it, but I don't like talking on the phone. I'd rather text. And it was an interesting class, a lot of like really open discussion. One thing that Andrea asked them was, when are the bozo texts, basically the dick pics and inappropriate text messages, going to stop? And I'll throw into that harassment. And I brought it up to these kids, and they thought it was a good idea. And it's something I've long thought. We've always wanted a couple of changes with Twitter. Did you see Jack get roasted last week a couple of weeks ago? When he was like, here's why we're not banning Alex Jones and whatever his nonsense is from Twitter. And I was like, okay, I get it. I'm for not banning that stuff, because if you're dumb enough to believe some of that shit, you're dumb enough to believe it elsewhere. So, and it's more complicated than that, but I just want to keep that real surface level. But Jack got roasted again for them, putting Alex Jones on like Twitter probation. But people have long wanted an edit button on Twitter. I thought it would be nice. I'm glad Facebook has it. But somebody pointed out the loophole with, speaking of all the hate speech and idiotic ideas that happen on Twitter, that could burn you. Let's say you fall into the trap of, you retweet something you like, something harmless, something about the Detroit Lions, something about something cool happening in Toledo. And then 2 days later, and let's say that thing got like, we'll just keep it minimal, like 809 retweets and 500 likes. Okay? You retweeted, you liked something cool about Toledo or the Lions or something else. 2 days later, that person who tweeted that out was actually a huge asshole, a huge hateful motherfucker. And that tweet got edited. And it no longer says, hey, big things coming to Toledo. I'm excited to be a part of it. It says, all the Jews, including the ones today, should have been... It says, the Holocaust needs to happen again. Or black people should be burned off the earth. Or the F word about the LGBT community says they should all die. So meanwhile... your totally harmless, supportive retweet or like has turned into a hateful tweet that causes all sorts of havoc. When I read that little loophole in an edit button on Twitter, I was like, oh yeah, forget about my careless typos and lack of proofreading. Yes, yeah, no edit button. Something else I'd like to come to Twitter that I mentioned in the class today, and we were talking about like harassment and inappropriate DMs and all that stuff. I'd like Twitter and Instagram to go back to the early days of the platforms. Now, you can't stop all of it because some assholes are just super determined. But I think some of the harassment by adding an extra step or even blocking it outright in a way would be helpful to prevent. Look, most of the harassment, I think, comes from men towards women. Not all of it, but a large portion of it. I think Twitter and Instagram should go back to their early days where you cannot DM someone unless there is a mutual follow. You follow them, they follow you. As of now, you can DM, I believe, anybody on Instagram if they don't follow you. I'm not sure if it's like that on Twitter, but it should be. Like, it should be back to the early days of those social media platforms. There has to be a mutual follow. You have to have allowed that person into your circle. So at least there's one more hurdle up for them to send some ridiculous nonsense your way. Because it's funny, there are like some people that I follow on Instagram, some fitness models and whatnot, and they have separate accounts. I think one girl is Brooke Evers. She posts on another Instagram account all the idiotic direct messages and perverted and disgusting and misogynistic DMs she gets to her main account on this other account. And it's disgusting. It makes me embarrassing. It makes me embarrassed to mostly be a guy, but to be a human being as well. So I'd like things to go back to that. What else did I want to share here? I think we got everything. Oh, one more thing with Twitter that irritates the hell out of me. Thanks, Peapod. I can block your retweets. I want to follow you and what you say. And I've said this on the air before, but I'm very adamant about this. I want to follow what you say. But if you're a chronic retweeter, I can block those retweets from you. I want to be able to block your likes as well. Because now that retweets and likes are essentially the same things that I see in my timeline, okay, I've blocked your retweets. But you like shit all the time. And that's great, but I don't want to see those in my timeline. So... either make retweets, send it back to the way it used to be. You've got to retweet it as opposed to, well, when it's a like, it just gets stored away into your likes and it doesn't show up in my timeline. Let's go back to that. Or let's add a little strategy. Like you can only have 100 likes and it's a one in, one out. But for God's sakes, likes being like retweets is a bane on my Twitter existence. If you've paid real close attention, I'm no longer in my relationship and I'm just going to leave it at that. That's all that needs to be said. I have no animosity or anything like that. It was just time and I'm disappointed and I hope at some point the friendship can, be where I believe it should be. So, but do me a favor. Punch me in the mouth if you hear me telling a Tinder or, God forbid, a Plenty of Fish story. I'm not going to sit here and do it now, but hey, you have a couple of drinks and then you know what? It's not even about like meeting someone. It's a pastime. It's like it gives me somewhere else to sit and play besides Google, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I can add a couple more apps to screw around on and pass the time because the chances of finding someone in those cesspools, I would say, are extremely limited. A couple of other things to throw on your radar. We're getting closer. I was mentioning it early in the summertime, but October 6th is the Out of the Darkness Suicide Prevention Walk, or Suicide Awareness Walk. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, AFSP, my friend Rachel Vallis. This will be my fifth year hosting, emceeing that walk. It's a little somber, but it is good to bring people together to support others who have been tragically put in these situations as well. The Out of the Darkness Walk, International Park, October 6th. Also, my former coworker and friend and Toledo mom, Mary Beth Zolick, maybe you saw her news story over the weekend. She's now kicked cancer's ass twice, and I believe she is a host or like a big-time mascot host for the Light the Night Walk for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. That's Saturday night, I think, October 14th. It happens in the evening. I believe it's downtown, but I'll keep sending you info that way. But I have put that in my calendar to go hang out with Mary Beth. TEDx Toledo coming up in September. Randy Ostra from ProMedica is a phenomenal speaker. I'm glad I did last year's TEDx about my mental health challenges and what I go through, as opposed to having to speak at this one to have to either follow Randy or fall in his shadow, because he is a phenomenal speaker. Whenever I go to an event and I see that he's speaking, it's always a treat and enjoyable, and I learn things from him, how I can improve my public speaking. He is prepared and detailed, but to such a degree where he knows his stuff, like backwards and forwards. And you got to do that for the most part as a CEO, but I guess what makes him so great is his energy and affability. It sounds like he's talking to just one person and not a gigantic room. And oftentimes people who are as detailed and as prepared as Randy often come off as they're reading, and that's not engaging. That's not enjoyable for the audience. But he is prepared and detailed, but also extemporaneous. It sounds like he's just speaking off the cuff, but he is so knowledgeable in what he's speaking about. So I wouldn't be surprised if he were the final speaker at this year's TEDx Toledo, which happens sometime in the September 20s, 24, 27. You can just Google TEDx Toledo. It'll happen downtown at Fleetwoods. There's two podcasts earlier this week, a short one yesterday, about 30 minutes with Vinny and Justin. Summer movie review, slight fall movie preview, and Alex Goetz, the GOAT, a friend of mine, talking about the Mommy Film Festival. Thank you for listening and subscribing. As always, rate and review if you would, and let people know that this is all happening. And every night now on Q105 as well, beginning at 7 o'clock.
This has been a Cumulus Media and Q105 collaboration. Three unicorns were harmed and lost their rainbows and horns in the production process. We use cookies for various purposes, like eating and flavor for protein shakes. And you have agreed to this and all other secret policies by enjoying the preceding audio content, which we highly encourage you to hashtag subscribe and share. You can click here for all other legal crap. And now hit skip intro to go to the next podcast. Just kidding. It's the See More Episodes option in your app. Q105.